Good morning. Well, you'll be pleased to know that I've only got 1.5 sheets of paper here. No, it's quite small actually. So 1.5 pages, and that's because these last couple of weeks have been quite a whirlwind for me. And I've been asking God what to speak on today, and he's given me what to speak on, but trying to get it down on paper has been quite difficult. So for the first time probably ever, I'm probably not going to do a lot from my notes, and we'll just see what God has for us. But I just want to start, I just want to pray for you all before I start. Lord, I just pray that each one of us right now, Lord, that we'll have a listening ear, and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to each individual here this morning. Your Holy Spirit and your word, Lord, cuts like a two-edged sword. And I just ask this morning that you speak to us. Amen. So whenever I get up here, it's never ever to tell people how to live. It is about looking at God's word and what does God's word say about how we live. Because that's how I learn how to live, through reading his word. 2 weeks ago, Mike talked about our lives being transformed. And last week, Mike talked about the transformation that Saul had when he became Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul was so transformed that he was never the same again. I hope that's true of us. That when we met God, and if you haven't met God yet, I can tell you that when you do, you will never, ever be the same again. And it's fantastic that you're never the same when you have that encounter. He met God and he totally surrendered. Now, there was a few things that happened before that, and we knew that he was blind. He was blinded on the road to Damascus. And then the more I read about Jesus in the Bible, and I've said to you before, you can't remember it if you've never read it. I'm going to say that again this morning. You can't remember God's word if you've never read it. So read about Jesus and his life. And John, I often talk about reading John. And the more I read about Jesus, the more I realise that although he was God, he was God with skin. He was God's precious son that was sacrificed for us. So he was God in skin. And he still lived a life with hardships. And I've been reading this week about Jesus. And I've been reading about when he was first in the temple when he was 12. And I've been reading about that he had half-brothers. And there's talk about sisters, though they're not named. And he had a career. He was a carpenter. And when I looked that up, it said, obviously, we just straight away think, oh, wood. But sometimes carpenters made lots of other things in that day. And when I looked it up, it was saying that, you know, we think of as a carpenter, I want my door altered. You know, Scott came to my house to take some bottoms off my doors when he had some new flooring fitted. Sometimes a carpenter will come to fit a dado rail, or a carpenter will come to a specific piece of wood or whatever. But in that day, the carpenter was a bit like probably what you understand the blacksmith to be. There would have only been one blacksmith in the village where they went to get everything made. And Jesus was the carpenter. So everybody would have known him. Everybody would have known that he was the person that you get to have a job done. And I don't know about you, but it's really hard to get people to get a job done, isn't it? I've still got a leaky roof. Third winter with a leaky roof. So, you know, it's like, you know, you'd want a simple job done, but you can't get it done. But Jesus was known as a person who would have got the job done. There was a point when Joseph had died, and Jesus was the eldest in the family. So he was the head of the family at that point, and Mary was a widow. And Jesus would have known the pressures of being the first in the family and of being the head of the family. We don't often think about that. We only think of Jesus as the miracles. And there was 30 years of private Jesus, in a sense, and 3 years of public Jesus in ministry. And what I want to say is, the 3 years were the miracles happened. And, you know, but Jesus was still, although he was God with skin, he was still being formed in those 30 years. And the man that he was being formed in those 30 years. He'd have learned how to get on with people. He would have learned how to talk to people, how to listen to people, how to negotiate, how to... When people would have met Jesus before the miracles, they would have still known that he was a different man. They would have still known that he was different. Jesus was yielded to the Father all the time. We talked about Matthew 5 a few weeks ago when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light." Just use that slide one. And I showed you these slides, and for anybody who wasn't here, I'm just going to repeat these slides, because I still feel that this has to be said today. So it was the picture of the yoke, please. So that's the yoke that is talked about in the Bible. And an animal went in each one. And the next picture will show you what they used. And they used that, I said a few weeks ago, they used that right up to the point where we had tractors. So it's not that long ago that people still use this. And what Jesus is saying there, if you're yoked to me, you'll be going in the same direction as I am. And as you're going through life, your strength and direction, you will have with me. Now, it sounds very simple, that. Sounds very, very simple. But boy, do we want our own way. Who doesn't want their own way? Put your hand up. There's something in us that resists things. There's something in us that when we are in our life, where we actually want to resist, and we don't want to follow. There's sometimes some of us that don't conform. We don't think something is right. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart." When people met Jesus, he was gentle. When the woman at the well, which is my favourite, met Jesus, look how he treated her. When the woman in adultery was met, look how he treated her. He treated her with love and no judgment. So what I want to do this morning, I want to do something quite different this morning. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've got a volunteer today, and I've asked him to help me. So come on out. This is my wonderful helper today. Just say who you are, because not everybody might not know you.
I'm Will.
You're Will, aren't you? How old are you, Will?
15.
He's 15, isn't he lovely? He's lovely. You know, and this morning as well, we've got two young men on the front row here who took communion. And do you know what was lovely? I'm not going to get them out, because they only just started coming here. It was lovely to watch them take communion and thank God for his broken body and his blood. And they both sat there and prayed. It was lovely to watch. What I want us to do, you'll have to bear with me now, because this is kind of new. Michael just said, "You're going to saw him in half." No. Right. So, this is representing you. You didn't know you were this good looking, did you? This is representing you. This is an altar. And what I'd want to say to you today is, One of the scriptures that you know that I love, and I do talk about it quite a lot when I'm up here, is Romans 12, verse 2, which is about being a sacrifice. So I'm just going to read that now. So this is Paul, who had that conversion on Damascus. He said, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Get on here. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Okay. So what I'm trying to demonstrate here is, I'm going to just try and name a few things that are your ordinary life. The person that you don't get on with in your ordinary life, who's that? Get on the altar and you say to God, I'm not doing very well with this person, Lord. Lord, will you help me to deal with this person in Christian love and grace and not deal with them how I want to deal with them? You see, because when you want to deal with them, just a moment, just come on, just jump up a sec. When you want to deal with them how you want to deal with them, you notice what's happened, the altar's empty. When you want to deal with them how you want to deal with them, which is not a Christian way of dealing with them, maybe you want to cut them off, you may not want to speak to them ever again, you may not want to them to be involved in your life at all, you're not on here. But when you, go back, when you say, God, I'm a Christian, I'm laying it all here. We've sung this morning all these songs. I didn't know Ray was going to sing all those songs about surrendering today. But you're surrendering. And when you're surrendering on this altar, it's the things that you need to surrender. It's not, oh, this is easy, God. This is easy, God. My Christian life is so easy. I can lie on there. And it's not a problem, God. It's the things that you have a problem with that you need to be on here for. Our attitude, how we speak. Right, just sit up 1 second. What does this say? Read it out nice and loud.
Place before God as an offering.
Yes, so place before God as an offering. That's what God wants our life. Place before God as an offering. So when he's lay there, that's what he's doing. Back up. What's this saying?
Walking around life.
You're walking around life. So this is the Message version. It's not the NIV version. The NIV version says place your life before God. But this talks about you walking around life. So what's you walking around life? What's you walking around life? Some of you are at work. What's you walking around life? Are you the best Christian at work? I don't mean Bible basher. I don't mean that. Are you the most loving person at work? Are you the person that listens to others? Are you the person that goes away and prays for those people who you work with? Are you the person who prays for that boss who you've got difficulties with? Are you the person who's retired? Well, what are your plans for this week? What are your plans for this week, retired person? What's your walking around life like this week? Are you going to go and meet somebody for coffee and encourage them? Are you going to make that phone call? I was talking to someone this week, and for 6 years, this person, one night a week, goes to this couple's house. And I said to them, are you still going to such a body's house? And he went, yeah. And when he became a Christian, he'd only been a Christian 2 weeks, and this couple in the church, who were older, said to him, will you please come for a meal and we'll teach you about God? 6 years later, he still goes for that weekly meal and they teach him about God. What a sacrifice that couple have made. And do you know, he's come on leaps and bounds. He's come on amazing. And every week they have supper with him, tea or whatever you want to call it. They open the word up. They share about God. They tell him about people in the Bible. He's not been brought up in church. He's had loads and loads of gap. And do you know this couple? They have him every week for tea and they open God's word. What a sacrifice. I thought, that's amazing. They're still doing it. I wasn't sure when I asked him. Place it before God as an offering. What this life is, what you're living tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this week, place it on the altar this week. Place it on the altar this week. You know what the worst thing is? The worst thing this week is for you to think, you know, my life, It's not important to God. What's going on this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's not that significant. And you know, your life that you're living is a gift. The opportunities as a Christian, you have no idea. I could say this some weeks, and you know, it's on my heart this. You know, you can have such an effect with God in your Christian life just by, I'm getting on the altar, Lord. There's lots of times when I've not wanted to get on here. Loads of times. There's times when I've just said, no, God, I don't want to get on here because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to. And then because of God's grace, what we've sung about before, God's unmerited favour, I've felt his love and I've said, sorry, Lord, I'm climbing on the altar, Lord. Forgive me. Climbing on the altar is one thing, but you know, it says in Romans we're a living sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, they got the goat, didn't they? Mark asked me this morning, did I want a knife? I said, no. In the Old Testament, they got the goat, they had the goat, dead, didn't move, did it? The problem with us is that we keep getting up. We're a living sacrifice. We keep getting up off this altar, but we have to keep getting back on. But this morning, I want to encourage you that your life, you will think it's an ordinary life, but your life is so important because you're living the life that God wants you to live. And it's the ordinary that he wants to do things in. You see, Jesus did so much in that 30 years ordinary that we don't know about, but he will have affected people. And then Jesus, in John 13, verse 12 to 17, read that. And it's Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So he was a rabbi, a teacher, and he washed the disciples' feet. He was God's son. And that was an unexpected act that Jesus did. It was a lesson in doing the ordinary, being a servant and using it as a tool to show others. And you know, it wasn't done as when you look at that, you might think, oh, it was done as something of weakness, but it was done in strength, it was done in authority, it was done from that position. I think we underestimate the ordinary. I think we underestimate the opportunities that God will get hold of. You know, Jim used to say, if we don't believe it, we won't live it. And our motto as a church is live it. You know, if we don't believe it, we won't live it. And I want this morning to encourage you in your faith to live it. So keep getting on the altar. Jesus knew his position. When he was talking to the disciples, he said, at the end of it, he said, do you understand what I've done? He knew his position. I don't know about you, but in life, I have stood next to people who've said, do you know who I am? Has that ever happened to you? Do you know who I am? And you cringe because you think, oh, it's awful that. It's awful. But I want to say to you this morning, in God, and it's quite a strong question this, and I don't ask it lightly, do you know who you are in God? Do you know who you are in God? If the answer this morning is, I'm not sure, or the answer is, I don't know, well, we are going to do some teaching in the autumn about who you are in God. And for some of you, it will release you into who you really are in God, and I would encourage you to get involved. But I also want you personally to ask God who you are in him. Ask him, he's been ever so patient here, isn't he? Ask him about what should I be getting on the altar for, Lord? Those situations in your life, what do you need to be getting on the altar for? You see, when I've got on the altar in my life, and I've had situations where I really, really not wanted some time to give them to God, because I probably didn't want to do what he was going to ask me to do. But when I've done it in obedience, the things that have happened have been unbelievable. Unbelievable. When I've come under that lordship of God, of Jesus, it's been unbelievable what God has done. And he has done far more. That scripture that says, I will do far more than you could have ever asked or thought. God has done that far more than I could have ever imagined. And he's opened doors that I would have never even foreseen would open. And that's the miraculous thing with God. You know, when the widow had the oil and she was asked to for the oil to be added, and she just thought the last little bit that she had would do her for a day or so, and it ran and ran and ran until it was needed no more, and it ran for ages. That's what God does with us. He uses what little we have, and he adds to it, and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then what you see is you see a fruit that you would never ever imagine. You see a fruit in relationships. You see a fruit in grace. You see a fruit in love. God takes you beyond what you could love. God takes you beyond those family relationships where you can go no more. God takes you through restoration, through all sorts of things. And he does far more than you could ever imagine or think. So all I'm going to say to you is, get on the altar and ask God, what does he want you to give him? Amen.